Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
As a society, we have been conditioned to getting instant results, from answers on the computer to meals out of a box. And instant fits our busy lifestyle very well. So when we find ourselves in a dark place, like the pits, we want instant answers. We need instant relief, but we don't know how to find it or where to turn. Today, Janie and I are breaking down Psalm 40 into six subcategories that may not be instant, but will serve as a pathway out of the pits. So when we talk about being in the pits, we don't want to know why we're there most times. We just want to know, how do I get out? And I want out right now. So Janie, give me a formula. Give me a step-by-step instruction so that I can get out of my pit now.
Well, Sharon, I have to laugh. Why are we wanting to change this? I thought instant was just great. I mean, we're going to have to go back and start peeling our own potatoes now? Come on. You're destroying my pipe dreams.
Right.
But now back to the word.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Well, every formula I've ever tried has failed. Because did you hear? I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And formulas born of my understanding or of the natural man can only have a natural solution to a supernatural problem.
Well, don't you think that a lot of times when we're in the pits, we don't really even think about what God may be trying to teach us there? You know, looking inside, looking at our own heart. Is there something I need to repent of? Search me, O God. Isn't mm-hmm. that what David said in Psalm 139?
Right.
Search me, O God.
And know my heart.
And know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
See if there is any wicked way in me. And so the more we look on the inside to see what God may be wanting to mold us and shape us and get rid of things out of us, is that part of the instruction for getting out of the pits?
Well, it's most definitely necessary, but Sharon, let's just be really real. When we have pain, we usually don't keep it in perspective.
Okay.
Do we not literally pick up the paper or go on the web and find out where someone has let their pain become all-consuming and they have overdosed?
Yeah.
I don't know that many people go out with the idea of, I'm just going to go overdose. Some, I'm sure, do. But probably most just think, I've got to get rid of this pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone comes in and says, well, let's go to the Word of God, it's like, you've got to be kidding.
Right.
I just need to get rid of the pain, and now you're trying to teach me something that just makes my head hurt more.
Right.
So can you see man's reason and logic in not wanting to look at what the Scripture says is a guarantee
right.
for getting out of the pit?
Well, David really has given us a sort of formula for getting out of the pits. It's a pathway out of the pits.
It's a pathway, and I don't want us to put a condemnation on the word formula, because the Bible does teach us that we learn by precept upon precept, line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
So you could call that a formula.
Okay.
But that would be something that the Lord has ordained in knowing the pathway, rather than when we think of formula, we think, well, we take 2 tablespoons here and so much of this, and
right.
we take it every 4 hours, and, you know,
uh-huh.
so we're looking at man's solution. So when I sound like I'm negative on formulas, I'm negative on man's solution, trying to find the problems that most of the time have a spiritual and soulish meaning, even though it may have a physical evidence.
Okay.
Because that's where it's gone, because the body, soul, and spirit are all tied together. You
right.
can't slot a square peg into a round hole.
Right.
You know, it reminds me, though, that we are so conditioned, because it reminds me how we, even when we're really sincere and we say, okay, Lord, our heart's right, our motive is right, now get me out of the pits.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want to sit down, find a few things that we'd like to order. Lord, uh-huh. I want to feel good. I want
mm-hmm.
peace. I don't want anxiety. I need to cast my cares upon you. And now, Lord, I've put my order in. How long will it take for me to eat? You know,
right.
We conditioned ourselves like we're going to a fast food restaurant, and we've been taught that's what we do.
Right, right.
And then when he doesn't do it, we're going, well, I didn't expect it anyway. You know, or
he must not love me.
Or we get his order and it's undercooked or overcooked because we don't have an understanding and we don't like the taste of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to send it back to him and say, let's readjust this to how I want it.
Right.
Now, does that not set practice in today's thinking?
Yes. That's absolutely true. You didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, so I don't want to listen anymore.
Yeah.
But
we do need to see that God does have a way that he wants it to guide us. And I think, Sharon, don't we have a good solution starting off in Psalms 40?
Yes. David is in the pits when he writes this psalm. Am I correct?
Yep.
Okay, so here in the very first three verses of chapter 40, he remembers God's work. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So he really digs into what God has already done for him. He waits patiently because he knows here's what God's done for me in the past. So he is sharing not only to himself, but to God that he knows, I trust you, Lord. You have inclined my ear. You have heard my cry. You have brought me up from a horrible pit. You have brought me up out of the miry clay, and you've set my feet upon a rock.
Okay, well, what I'm seeing here, Sharon, is again, let's go back and play on going into the fast food restaurant to get our order up. Do we want to wait very long for that order? In other words, do we not have a timing problem? And so the very thing that the Lord says, or David said unto the Lord, I waited patiently.
Mm-hmm.
And how often do we wait for the results that the Lord wants to richly give us in his timing?
Right. We kind of cross-pollinate, I guess, so to speak, what we see in society and what we are used to in our lives. We really do transfer over to God and what we expect from him. And he is the creator. It is his world. It is his plan. We are his children, and we are on his timing.
And you know what? Bees may be able to cross-pollinate and give us honey, but it doesn't work for us, does it?
No,
it usually works into anxiety, bitterness.
And we start feeling like that God doesn't love us, that he's not there for us. And we start thinking all of these negative thoughts toward him when we're in the pit. Because he's not answering the way we're used to down the street at the fast food restaurant, or even we can ask the computer anything and it'll tell us, you know.
Well, and I think we need to establish between just you and I, as well as between anybody joining us today, that Isaiah 55 probably needs to be read a couple of times a week just to remind us, Lord, I don't understand right now, but you've already forewarned me that your ways and the way you're working is not the way I'm going to be thinking.
Right.
So therefore, I need to know that I'm on a foundation, that you have set my feet on a rock. Now, look what the first evidence should be, Sharon, because he already gives us the evidence in verse 3, where David says, he put a new song in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That has to do with the way we sing and the way we praise. So when the Lord is starting to bring a new song, that's going to be the evidence that he is bringing us out, because you don't sing wonderful, wonderful Jesus when you're in the pits. You sing, I'm dying, all right, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
So he puts a new song. I find that when I start off the morning with singing the songs that bring joy to my heart, it changes my pain level.
Yeah.
It changes my outlook and focus. It solidifies me being able to make a schedule that I can stick with to the best of my abilities without the unplanned.
Right.
But it just makes so much difference than getting up and focusing on the woe is me. So right here, we know we have to wait patiently. It's going to be some timing. In the interim time, he's working to get me out of the pit, to get us out of the pit and out of the sticky clay that is just like you can't move because it just has you bound. And then put your feet on a rock. I don't know if you've ever just been able to stand on a big, large, smooth stone and how secure it is versus standing on little bitty pebbles where you try to walk on those little bitty pebbles and it hurts your feet and kicks off your nerves in your feet. So I like the fact that he just says, I put you on a rock. And then we know that Jesus Christ is a solid rock on whom we stand. So, but then in the very last, he says, many will see it in you and they will fear. Now, that's not a bad fear. That's standing in awe of who got you out of the miry pit and will trust in the Lord. So not only does that encourage and strengthen our hearts, but we become a witness to others that they may see the sovereignty of the awesome God who has just got you out of the pit.
Well, the next two verses, 4 and 5, David reaffirms his trust in the Lord. So he says, blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order to you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Now again, I have to smile, because wouldn't you like to be able to say that same thing about your husband? That he thinks about you more than can be numbered. They say the average couple does not communicate more than 6 minutes a day.
Wow.
Now, I imagine those that fight probably do a little bit more. But it just goes to show you the preciousness, how the heart is constantly turned towards individually. And we know that anybody reads this, the same thing applies to them. Then you stop and think about the millions that read it, and you're thinking, what a heart.
Yeah.
What a heart. All right.
Well, one of the things that I noticed in reading that was that David still, even though we've moved on from remembering God's work, he is still remembering God's work in the affirmation of his trust to him.
Yes.
So he is speaking out loud, probably a lot for himself to say, okay, I trust you, Lord. I know that you have done these things for me in the past, and I am trusting that as I'm here in the pit, that you are going to continue. I don't know how I'm going to get out of here, but I know that however it is, that it's going to be your will, it's going to be your way, and it's going to be in your time.
And you know, Sharon, I think there's a subtle hint here of what put him in the pits. Why don't you read the second half of 4. You've just described the need for trust. Now go ahead and read the next line really in verse 4.
And respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies.
Okay, now you stop and I think he's giving you a subtle hint there. Probably he was looking at man and becoming defeated because man seemed to be
wise.
Well, and getting their own way and progressing and having the good life. And they look like they were succeeding. How many of David's Psalms talk about looking at the evil and the evil seemed to be prospering when he was languishing, all right? And Lord, and deal with them because they're evil. But that could have very easily caused David to sink into the pits because he really was looking at man and then begging God to do something rather than looking at God and saying, what are you going to do with man? You see, it's just a reversal.
Right.
And then he says, nor such as turn aside to lies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David could be seeing the truth that was dragging him down because he was looking at the lies. Once again, we have a saying that when you believe a lie, it'll affect you as the truth.
Even though it's a lie.
Yes. But if we choose to believe a lie, it's going to shape our lives, and that can only bring destruction. So I just have a hint, mm-hmm. not declaring it to be fact, but I have a hint there that that may be what have took him down into the pits to begin with, which should be an exhortation to us, because he goes on then in the next verse and says, but, oh Lord, look at the wonderful works. I've changed mm-hmm. my focus. I'm looking at what you're doing, not what the other guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't comprehend them because your thoughts are turned so towards me. So you see how you can almost like, there's a saying that we always see the sunrise before we see the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we operate off the sunrise when we should be waiting till we see the actual sun. And so it's like David is here saying, I see the sunrise, and I'm moving towards seeing the sun by looking at your countless thoughts towards me. So I see this as the first step in getting out of the pits.
Okay. Then David goes on in verses 6 through 8. He renews his submission. So there is a hint there that David is renewing his submission to the Lord. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required.
Well, he's learning that performance is not of any value.
Right.
Now, to be surrendered to God, which is what he's really starting mm-hmm. to describe here, is more of a value than personal holiness. Now, you know, the Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And, you know, he puts a priority on that. But let me tell you where the flaw can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Concern over our personal holiness causes us to focus our eyes on ourselves.
Okay.
All right? And we become overly concerned about the way we walk and talk. Now, that's an exhortation to you and I, because don't mm-hmm. we say the walk and the talk?
Mm-hmm.
All right? But if we do that out of fear, oh, Sharon, we've got to walk the talk or else, you know, fear, then do you realize we're offending God and the provisions that he has provided?
So what should we be doing?
It's more important to be surrendered to God or showing our surrender to God in how we do what he says here. I delight to do your will. Okay, there's a delight, there's a joy. You didn't require me to have anything that I did out of fear. So to have personal holiness is going to be an automatic
okay.
of those that seek him first. And he's already told you how he's going to seek. He's going to wait patiently. He's going to know that there's a solid rock that he's standing on. He's going to hear the joy that's in his heart by the hymns he wants to sing. He's going to be trusting rather than trying.
Right.
When personal holiness is an automatic outcome of trust.
Okay.
Not from the fear of trying to perform, to accomplish, then we're on solid ground. We're on that rock.
Okay.
But if our walk and talk is, oh, if we don't do this, we're going to get in trouble with God. Or
we have to earn his love somehow.
Or I had a little youngster say the other day, oh, I did something wrong. Is God mad at me?
Oh,
you know, in other words, right, there, I've got to walk and talk just so, or God will be mad at mm-hmm. me. No, the Lord's made provision if you mess up on your walk and talk out of fear. But if you have your walk and talk out of trust and waiting patiently to hear from the Spirit, then holiness is just going to be a byproduct.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense now?
It absolutely does, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right, so the next verses 9 through 12, David repeats truths. He is being honest about his weakness and God's greatness. And so when we can be honest about our weakness in the pit or otherwise and see God's truth about who he is, he's faithful, he has loving kindness, he's tender mercies, his
all of his attributes
all
and his character.
All of his attributes and character that sustain us.
Mm-hmm.
So David is repeating these truths, and probably some for himself.
Oh, yes.
Not just for praise to God for who he is and prayer to him, but also for himself to remember that this is who God is. This is the truth about who he is. You know, he is love. He is faithful. He is righteous. He is good. His mercies endure forever. And so with all of that, he is repeating those to the Lord and for himself.
And if you'll notice that he has now gone public with this, okay? Because he says, I've declared your righteousness in the great assembly. I've not restrained my lips. And he goes on to talk about the faithfulness of his salvation. But he has now shown all of these attributes to the great assembly. This is when he said, I've pulled myself up to the point that I can now proclaim it to others. Mm-hmm. I'm just not here, Lord, between you and me. You've established me. We know what he said in the first mm-hmm. 8 verses. And now I'm going to go out and tell others and share because I can't contain it.
Right.
Because the love of God and the faithfulness of God is too great. So now I would say this is when David goes public.
Okay. All right. Well, the next verses 13 through 17, he rejoices. And this is a rejoice in who God is no matter where we are. And I want to go back and say that there is praise in every step along this way. He is praising God in remembering his work, in reaffirming his trust, in renewing submission, and repeating his truths. Every aspect of those subtopics, he is praising God.
And he is giving credit to the Lord on everything, which will strengthen your heart.
Yes.
All right? And again, we can just say of the fact that he has got his eyes on the right focus.
Well, it is truth.
It's life, isn't it?
It's life. He's saying that these are truths. This is truth. These are promises. These are principles. This is who God is. And you can trust that.
That's right.
Because it's true.
But if you'll notice that in these verses that you've just described in verses 11 and 12, he shows that he goes back and has to renew the fact of God's loving kindness and continually preserving him because there are innumerable evils. So what we need to let people know today, including ourselves, is that as we're coming out of the pits and declaring that wonderful thing, that draws the attention of the enemy.
Right.
And now yes. There could be a new frontal attack or maybe mm-hmm. a rear-end attack,
yeah.
All right, where you're not expecting it. But he says that his iniquity sometimes is so great that it's like he almost wants to slide back into the pits. And he said, because they're more than the hairs on my head.
Right.
But if we go on to 13 through 15, he brings out the fact that, Lord, I remember what I told you before. I put my trust in you. I'm not looking at performance.
Mm-hmm.
And you will deliver me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not a total out of bondage, but there's enough encouragement that you can keep the light going.
All right. Well, the last part, verses 16 and 17, in his rejoicing, he also prays for others.
Well, and that's being in the likeness of Christ, because I happen to remember, and I'm sure you will too, that as the Lord hung on the cross in agony and pain that we will never understand or be able to describe, he was still ministering to the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of my mother. To the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. So he set us the example at the cross when the pits had to be the deepest that he would ever, ever, ever know throughout eternity.
Right. Well, Janie, that is all the time we have for today. So I just want to go back over our 6 points.
Okay.
For a pathway out of the pits, we're in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Remember God's work. Reaffirm your trust in God. Renew your submission to God. Repeat truths about God. Rejoice in God and pray for others. So those are 6 points from Psalm 40 that will help us on the pathway out of the pits. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.